Comic Book Club News gives you the comic book news you need to know first thing in the morning every weekday in the form of digestible 3 to 5 minute long podcasts. Comic Book Club News recaps breaking news stories from Marvel, DC Comics, and beyond, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop 6 a.m. ET in the Comic Book Club News feed, so they're ready for you when you're ready for the day. Comic Book Club News. You hear it second or third, possibly fourth.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Candyman, a podcast where we're going to please ask you to put down your books of the blood, because we're not talking about that. We're not talking about the source material for the Candyman movies. Instead, we're talking about Sweet Tooth, the show on Netflix, and reviewing a piece of candy. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And this episode, we're going to be talking about episode 6 of Sweet Tooth, Stranger Danger on a Train. And then later in the episode, we're going to be reviewing one of my favorite pieces of candy, Twizzlers. So stay tuned for that. Very excited to talk. We've certainly teased this pretty hard on the podcast at this point.
Indeed. What's the Twizzler slogan? Makes mouths happy? Is that right?
Sure. I don't know. Is that true?
I remember some commercials like that.
Yeah, make mouths happy. Alex, are you saying you like to make mouths happy?
I do. It makes my mouth happy. Let's hold that for the end of the podcast. In the meantime,
I just try to whet the old appetite, try to get a little moisten up the mouths, as you say.
Like you said, Twizzlers are work. So I'm excited to really get into it, get to work here on the podcast, talk about the candy, talk about this episode of Sweet Tooth. Now, spoiler warning on, we're going to assume that you have seen this episode, episode 6, but a very brief recap overview of what happened in case you have forgotten if you're listening to this later. This is the episode where Gus, Jeppard, and Bear take a train to Colorado. They meet an old football friend of Jeppard's, run into some trouble with the Last Men, and then eventually shut it down and move on and actually get to Colorado, bringing them together, potentially, probably, with Amy's storyline. Meanwhile, Amy has to evacuate the zoo as the Last Men have discovered it. So the hybrids get out of town while Amy hangs back with her gun and gets ready to fight. And over on the old Sing front, Sing and Ronnie lie to Abbott and say they have a cure for the sick. Abbott believes them, brings them to his stronghold, and they're going to have to figure out how to cure the sick in a very quick period of time.
But that's calling your shot. I appreciate that. Just like, put the carrot in front of you and let's go.
He's close. It's not like he's starting from scratch.
Yeah. He's got he needs some juice. He needs some hybrid juice.
Yeah.
He's got a book with some ideas in it. He's basically got the cure.
It's basically done.
That's how they cured COVID, I believe, right? They came up with the COVID vaccine. Mm-hmm. Just some juice in a book.
It's sort of funny that you say that, but they sort of did that. They were like, hey, we need these now. And they were like, okay, here we go. That's what happened.
I'd like to start by talking about the amazing, beautiful shot that we start with here. I like this kind of opening.
Pete's film school.
Plus, it was like this beautiful opening shot, and then the silky undertones and the voiceover guy just coming in and setting the table for us.
Well, that's the funny thing about starting an episode. You got to start it with a shot that really draws the audience in, and that is the way you take your shot.
When you're a narrator like I am, you only get to talk. You don't get to be a character, so I really gotta leave it all on the voice. Here we go. Here's my voice.
What do you think? I was thinking about this too much since our last episode, but what do you think James Brolin knows about Sweet Tooth?
Nothing.
Nothing?
He doesn't need to know anything. All he needs to say is, like, some stories start at the beginning. I guess all of them. Well, here's another piece of the beginning of this here story. And, like, that's sort of... And I love it. Like, this
I
is
do.
Not... Not a
we're,
shot.
We're having some fun,
it's
great.
It's very, like...
Just gets me all ready for the action.
He's great. I just would love to interview him and ask, so what do you think about the character of Gus? And he'd be like, the character of who?
Yeah.
The what now?
Why does he need to know? He's doing his job.
Yeah, his voice, his narration is sort of like putting on a warm wool sweater where it's like really cozy, but just a little itchy. Like,
oh, come on. Don't you dare say it's a little itchy.
It's a little itchy because it's it's a little bit on the nose. It's a little bit, but it's very comforting. It really gets you right ready to sit down and hear a story.
Exactly.
I definitely spend a lot of time listening to his narration thinking, does this make sense? I don't know if this makes sense.
100%. Yeah, that's the itch.
You're glad he's there. You're glad he's there. So yeah, it just starts with the, you know, it's like train, just the classic. You better run. You got to make it.
Well, what did you think about the drone on the ground at the same time? There was a drone lying there sort of sparking and sputtering a little bit. What do you think's happening with that?
Well, I think that's a real metaphor for, like, you know, the future of yeah, exactly. Like, are we that broken drone just spinning around? You know
really
what I mean?
Smart.
Like,
wow, you truly are in film school.
So it's just, you know, I liked it there. I thought it was a fun. Plus, I hate drones, so I wish I had broken that drone.
Do you feel like that drone was what got the beautiful shot that you were talking about, Pete?
Yeah.
And then it just happened to crash onto the screen.
It just happened.
That's a real mess up if the camera got in the shot there.
Center of the shot. I mean, I think it's like maybe Gus and crew are being watched a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe their journey is being clocked, not just by James Brolin, but by some other more nefarious people.
Oh, you think James Brolin is watching it from his home in the sky?
Yep. Yeah.
Exactly. James Brolin is the ultimate narrator, God himself.
Wow.
My narrator.
Yeah, so the very dramatic of making the train, because that's what I was worried about in this episode. They're like, oh, yeah, we're going to go this part with a train. And they're like, it's not a stop. And I'm like, how the F are you guys going to jump on a moving train?
I thought that was great. I love that sequence so much. You know, this show is really suckering me in, I've found, just in terms of the pacing and the way that things are shot, because there is no world where Jeopard is not going to make that train. That's just not going to happen. But watching that scene, I was like, oh, man, they're going to pull away and he's going to be on the track.
He's going to be.
Well, let me be honest. It looked like he was not going to make that train.
It looked
he's
like
a big man. And that train was going fast.
We got back up the truck a little bit here. Gus.
Train.
Jumps.
Back up the train.
Great. Jumps
hard
on a hook and then swings perfectly into a perfect pile of toilet paper that just happens to be on a train.
While you're mentioning right that. Yeah, I thought it was cool. Well, because here's what I loved how all the stuff on the train were like what we had for supplies for COVID. You could see the toilet paper, massive amounts of toilet paper. I don't know if you noticed in a lot of the shots when they were hiding the hand sanitizer. Yeah. Like, I thought that was
motorcycles,
again,
of course, everybody.
Choco rockets. I got crates of Choco rockets at the beginning of COVID.
I
believe better be
that
able
you
to
did,
see
Alex.
What a Choco rocket is, because that looks... I mean, if it's chocolate, you can light on fire. I mean,
I don't know if it was chocolate at the beginning of COVID, but it was definitely, we put on our mask and I was like, well, time to get 18 canned cases of beer. Here we go. Move it up from the six pack to just got to make sure it's there.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. Supply up. The liquor stores are one of the only places allowed open outside of like random grocery stores. It was a wild time to really take a hard look at each other and be like, yep. We're going to go get some booze right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Since we're starting with the train storyline, anyway, why don't we continue to plug through this? Really? Yes, Justin.
Well, I was going to say, Jeopard running, and he starts to see his football highlights, which I thought was very cool, good reminder, and really set up the rest of the episode. If you were in Jeopard's position, what highlights would you be seeing to drive you to make it onto the train?
I would just run faster. I don't know.
Like, no, but that's what I'm saying. What visions are you having to really
Pete,
get
you? Would 100% picture the train as a big candy bar, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Big Reese's cup. You're just trying to get your...
Or a Philly cheesesteak, you know, whatever.
Yeah, they're both tube-like. It's fine. That's like a train.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. Podcasting? Like, I got to make the podcast on time?
Wow.
Right. You get your snowball mic is just right there at the end. You got to dive for it.
Yeah. How about you, JT Sis?
I don't know. You know, I was used to tear up the ultimate frisbee field. Pretty intense, pretty stereotypically, almost a human cliche, you could say. that I did that. But yes, I went to a white guy at a liberal arts college getting into Ultimate Frisbee. Yeah, I guess that's pretty standard.
Well, talking about this moment, and this is jumping all the way to the end of the episode, but I loved how those shots of Jeopard on the football field paralleled the way that and set up the shot with Jimmy Fatman Jacobs fighting
at
the end.
Oh, my God, dude.
Just Jimmy. Such a... Doing it with the train going through the tunnel, the lights flashing in exactly the same way.
And the
way.
Announcer voice.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Great.
Fatman Jacobs!
Great. Just so good. And just the connection. This episode, or at least this part of the episode, was really about Jeopard. Both him really finding his heart again. Like finding the heart he probably had as a football player that made him this amazing football player that everybody loved. He finds that again with getting Dog back for Gus, with standing up to the last men, and really inspiring Jimmy to do the same thing by the end. And I loved that it was sort of a swerve, that you didn't have Jeopard doing that again, but that he passed that on to Jimmy, and that was the last thing there, that they have this connection. They're sort of very similar people, but on different parts of their journey. I thought that was really lovely.
You're fast-forwarding through a lot of amazing moments. When Jeopard sees the dog through the window and goes, like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I lost it. I was like, oh my God, he's gotta somehow get that. Like, he's,
Were there middle parts of the episode? Because I only watched the beginning when Jeopard got on the train and he had the football thing, and then I skipped like 30 minutes in there and then went right to the end with Jimmy Fatman Jacobs. It's actually wild that I got any of the subtext there.
You watch this every episode on 8x speed, so it's really hard to pick out the detail.
I'm just saying, like, that.
Everybody's talking very fast and the music is crazy.
I think I got it, though. I think I got the gist of it.
I just meant, like, it was some real nice beats.
No, I know. We should we should talk about the whole storyline. I just thought this parallel was really nice there. That's all.
Okay, I see. Absolutely.
I agree. To sort of take the whole thing as a whole sequence, like, this was about Jeopard, and it was about him coming to terms with the two sides. All the episodes so far has laid out these two sides of the person, the, like, rough exterior and sort of the soft nougat center that we've talked about a lot.
Oh,
and this episode, he sort of has to hold them both at the same time when he's dealing with his old friend. And he gets to see how much – we get to see how much he's changed and deal with it directly, which I thought was great and really sets us up for the last couple episodes where we get to see him as this whole person act on the new man he's become.
Well, and it also shows off to Bear as well, which is a big deal because Bear and Jeopard have not trusted each other at all. And you can see at the end, Bear yells at Jeopard and says, "What are you doing? You're really screwed up here." And then when she sees that he has handed Dog, he has found Dog, and that's the whole point of it, Bear completely reevaluates what she thinks of Jeopard there, which I thought was a nice dramatic thing.
Yeah, and then later Jep is like, "Hey, if you want to roll with us, that's cool with me." I mean, just very, I got very emotional during this episode. It was really
will say, it was a very Pete LePage moment when Bear saw Dog on the other side of that door and he was like, "Oh shit." I was like, that is exactly what Pete would have done. Would have done the same move to get
it's
Dog.
Just great because he knows he has to get that fucking dog. That, like, he got the Colorado moment, like, hey, we made it. We got the kid to forget about it for a second. But he saw that fucking dog, and he knows he can't just leave it. Like,
I also like the fact that he's not good at subterfuge, that he goes in there,
he's a big
lies
man.
Terribly.
Yeah.
I liked his lie, though. He's like, yeah, there's a leak up here. Gas leak. Yeah, don't come up here. It's very Han Solo in A New
We're
Hope.
We're doing great.
Like,
how are you?
Doing great. Yeah. Great. Everything's fine. Just fine. How are you?
Another thing that I thought was really nicely teased throughout the episode and is, I know I'm overemphasizing this, but I really feel like a sucker watching this show because it's getting me at every single time. Like, I do not see this stuff coming. They're playing the I Spy game. They see the escaped zoo animals. And of course, it sort of feels like, oh, that could be anywhere. You know, yes, zoos everywhere probably let animals go. And I didn't immediately connect it to Amy's zoo in my head. Yeah. So then when at the end, when we had that moment where Gus says, "I spy with my little eye," something that starts with an E, and it's the Essex County sign, and you realize, okay, they are going to Amy's zoo. All of these things are coming together in a really big way. They got me. They suckered me.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I'm surprised.
I can't say enough about Jimmy. Like, the fact that Jimmy's like, oh, yeah, Grogu. And they're like, what do you mean? And he just looks at him like, oh, what do I mean? What did I say? And it's just like this, like, is this guy going to be able to focus good enough to actually get
that? I thought
it
was so sad. He has, we were talking about this and unfortunately joking about it on an earlier podcast that about CTE. I think I was saying I have it, but Jimmy has it. And it's just the fact that he can't hold on to those memories is such a bummer. But the fact that he gets it back at the end when he's fighting these guys is kind of powerful and beautiful.
Just the him whooping ass was just so great to see. It was just really fantastic.
It was one of those moments where I was like, does he really have to sacrifice himself here? Isn't there a way that he could have just left with them? Or it's one of those moments in television or content or whatever, where you're like, there's another way out of this, but it's much more, the drama is here. So he's.
But it's also the honor of what he's doing for his friend and the fact that he's like, I'm sharp right now. I can go out like a boss. Like, let me do this, man.
Yeah, I get that. But also, weren't they more acquaintances?
When they did the little headbutt thing, come on. That was nice, man. They were close friends.
Also, do we really need two Jeopards in the group? Like, wow. That's a little
now. For a man who was just talking about how he got by the emotional moment, you're like, we can't have two Jeopards. Not this nice other Jeopard. That guy has to die. Death sentence. You just signed Jimmy's death warrant.
That was awful.
He deserved to die.
Oh my God. Wow. Don't you dare.
I wish we had seen him die.
Wow.
I think that there's. The only thing better than one Jeopard is two Jeopards, okay? And I loved Jimmy. And,
I want to see all Jeopards.
Do you know what you should check out, then? There's a
team of Jeopards.
There's a show that actually has a team of Jeopards. It's called Football.
Yeah, I'm aware of it, okay? I'm aware of it.
You're going to love it. It's a lot of people sacrificing themselves. Yeah.
The story is very weird sometimes. It's hard to follow, but... a lot of people like it.
Yeah, there's a lot of narration, though. There's a guy who's like, well, here we are at another football game. And then he talks about what's happening. It's all Jeopards and a couple James Brolins every episode. What did you think of the fact that they keep referencing Grogu? Like the, obviously, Yoda from the...
Right,
Yoda.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to get Grogu. Like, is that... what sort of synergy you think is there? And can we have... a cuter, like Gus, talk about two Jeopards, we have Gus and Grogu.
Do you think Gus is the Grogu of the show, or is Bobby the Grogu of the show?
Don't bring up Bobby.
Me, Bobby.
Stop it.
Oh, Bobby. Bobby's entered the stream in the fourth rectangle that we have here.
Bobby podcast.
Oh, my God.
Bobby.
Stop.
Bobby, what's your take on...
Bobby's sick of cancel culture.
Oh, my God.
Bob, come for Bobby.
No.
Oh, I knew it. Bobby, where were you on January 6th?
Bobby at Capitol.
Oh, my God.
All right. This guy's trouble. Go get out of go. Go watch the zoo.
Me shout through ARC mail slot.
It's great. This will age well.
Yeah, this is gonna really. Yeah, I just think that the stuff on the train. It was nice to see that Bear got a moment with Gus, and you know, just was. I think it just builds the relationship better, and I was glad to see it. And then the fact that Jep and Bear made up is great for the team moving forward.
You know, here's the thing that I've been kind of scared to say all podcasts, because I know Pete is going to yell at me about it. I love this episode like I love every episode of this show. This is the one to me that felt like table setting a little bit. It felt like moving the chess pieces around. Ooh, and I like
middling.
Yes, a very middling episode. It
fucking piece
just
of shit.
Between what was going on the train, what was going on with Amy, what was going on with Sing, it was a lot about moving and getting people to different places, which I understand could be a thematic thing since they're dealing with the train. But at the same time, there wasn't quite as much plot movement as there has been in previous episodes. So while I enjoyed it, I thought it was a beautifully shot episode. It got me emotionally, just like everything does. It still was a lesser episode of the series for me.
I hear you in that it didn't really stand alone. It didn't.
How dare
really,
you?
It was
don't
really
hop on the shit train with him.
Sorry, I landed on a big old stack of toilet paper, my friend, on the shit train. I think the arc of the episode is built around Jimmy, but I agree with you. It wasn't enough to be like, this episode is this. And it was definitely moving us to the next place we need to be, much like a train. But I do think the revelations that Jeff heard go through were a nice emotional beat that made it feel like this episode did need to happen. It's not like this is a complete.
Yeah, like I said, I like the episode. It was good. I just
no, come
need
on.
To bring
the
that
super
up to really
villain
annoy Pete.
Lean in with the one glass, the one sunglass flip. I mean, come on, that's worth the episode alone. I mean, that was some real shit right there. I mean, come on.
Why do you think you'll need each sunglass separately to rotate on?
You know, it depends on, you know, like nearsighted. You know, it's like, yeah, if your eyes are little, you know what I mean? It's extra.
So do your sunglasses do that, Pete? Can you pop up?
Dude, this is some futuristic shit. I can't wait to go online and see if I can get a one popper or a double popper. You know what I mean?
Pinky like, popper?
Yeah. We start with Pinky's popping. No, Pinky, we got some pinky popping in this episode. Glad to see the dog found his way home.
Oh, yeah.
If you had to make the call, dog or Jimmy, which do you choose? Because the show chose
Jimmy.
Dog. You chose
really?
Jimmy.
Dog does smell like Will Forte's feet, which is pretty cool.
That might come in handy later.
Mm-hmm. What you're forgetting is we don't know what Jimmy smells like. We didn't identify. Oh, I wanted at the end James Brolin to come on and be like, Jimmy smelled like a old package of Cool Ranch Doritos. Oh, man. You're never going to see those again.
I wish to smell like that someday.
You probably do.
Stick with the lifestyle you have, Pete. You're going to be there very soon. All
right. Let's talk about Sing, since you brought up Abbott in this storyline. A lot of this is about Sing and Ronnie. And like we've been talking about, I was certainly thinking about what we talked about the last episode. Ronnie is ruthless. Like,
yeah,
she's
reckless. She don't give a fuck.
Well, she wants to survive. She has the survival instinct that Sing doesn't have in the same way. And he certainly is relatively good about thinking on his feet and lying about this cure once she sets it up. But the actress has this great look when she realizes that Abbott is going to leave them to die anyway, where she suddenly shoots out, no, what about the cure? You're not going to
get
the cure.
Yeah, you'll never get the cure. Yeah, it was. Yeah. And then what was tough was seeing them fight a little bit. You know, like Ronnie and Dr. Sing kind of fighting, and it was heartbreaking, but then it was real nice, you know, when they sat next to each other on the bed there and made up.
So, and made out?
Made up.
Just hoping I didn't
up
miss
and out,
anything.
I always say.
Yeah, you don't, did you miss something in the episode? You saw the same thing I did.
It's easier to make out, make up than make out than make out than make up, I found. just if you're talking about.
Wait, how does that go again?
Definitely make up than make out, don't make out than make up. Okay, is what I hope to teach my children. But what I this episode really made me think at this point is Ronnie just playing Sing? Is it about them or is it about her? Because they've done such a great job of being like they're this great true
together.
Love couple. Yeah. And then it's slowly starting to think that Ronnie's maybe acting on her own. Would she betray Sing for if
How
Abbott
dare
then
you.
Somehow?
Well, I
don't know. She's moving in this episode without consulting Sing. She's taking
it. They're tied up against a fucking chair. What do you? You gotta fucking try dramatic shit, man. Come on.
But it's gonna come down to Sing has to find the cure, not Ronnie. So like she's put Sing on the hook, and she hasn't. She's ready to make the moral compromises that maybe he's not, and she's putting him on the same hook that she is comfortably sliding onto.
I think there's a little bit of, I understand what you're saying, but I think there's a little bit more nuance there. I think if the chips were down, I think you're absolutely right. That
how much more down do the chips have to be? The chips are fucking down, dude.
If
the Doritos are on the table.
If Abbott took a gun and said, I'm going to kill you or I'm going to kill Sing, I think she would say, kill Sing. You know, that's
no way.
No, that's where I think she's at, but I don't think she's there, and I don't think that's what her motivation is right now. She wants to survive, but she also loves her husband wholly and completely, and you can see that throughout the episode. Mm. She believes in him. She believes he can find the cure, but she is the sort of, it's a very Walking Dead character in a certain way, where she is morally challenged. Sing is on a different level. It isn't quite there yet. He still is very comfortable in Rockridge, but he's getting pushed to that place. But Ronnie has been dealing with the fact that she could die at any moment for a decade now, something like that. So she just wants to live. That's what she wants. She wants to do it with her husband, but if there was a life or death scenario, I think you are right that ultimately she would go with herself. She would hate it. She would not be happy about it, but she would go with herself.
So then you don't blame her for her choices. You think she has just been, she's had to deal with this. And if you are, if your life is hanging in the balance for this long, it's hard to have a real moralistic look at the world.
I don't know about you guys, and not to get too dark about it, but because I do watch a lot of zombie TV shows, I do spend too much time thinking about what would I actually do in this situation?
Right.
What would I actually do when the chips are down? And I think I would like to think, no, you know, I would always sacrifice myself for my children. But I think you don't actually know when, until you're in that scenario, to be perfectly honest.
I've been in that scenario with you, and you push someone in front of a truck to get out of the way to save yourself.
This is a true story,
those kids. You would throw those kids under a bus. Like,
yeah, that also wasn't my child. It was our tech producer.
Who you didn't really love.
It didn't, like, I don't know if you had enough time to consider the relationship before you pushed.
All I'm saying is it was a full-grown adult I almost pushed in front of a truck. It was not a child, okay? I want to clip.
And that was not a zombie situation. That was a regular situation. We really papered over the fact that it's not. There's no zombie apocalypse.
So you're saying that since in a regular situation where I was walking out of a convention center, I almost killed somebody to save my life, you think it would somehow be different with zombies?
Yeah,
the answer is no. It wouldn't be different.
Yeah, it's not.
It would be worse.
It would be faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you would pick up a kid and throw it at a zombie to, like, buy you some time.
The second anybody says the word zombie, I'm just throwing kids in front of traffic left and right.
The zombie prank I was planning on pulling on you is really going to come bite me.
Oh, that's going to be, that's not going
to
go well.
What did you think about the conversation on the bed in particular? Justin, I'm curious to hear from you since you seem kind of doubt on the relationship.
To the point we were saying, like, all the pleasantries aside, I think they're in a place where the path is dark, and they can talk about the bright side, but all their choices and everything that is happening to them keeps pushing them on to the other direction.
I don't know, the way they hung on, like, together, it feels like the answer is going to be something about, like, both their bloods or something, because, like, she has had it for a long time and been fighting it off. So, like, her immune system's got to be strong. And, like, he somehow hasn't got it the whole time. So, like, I feel like maybe with the way they kind of hung on the word together, like, that's going to be kind of the answer moving forward.
What did you think about the murderer that got to go free in this episode?
That's what I was going to ask about.
Yeah, the horse who gets to go free.
That
was a beautiful shot of the horse.
Maybe this is a different show and this would have happened on a different show, but I thought the horse was going to die somehow. I thought the horse was going to, like, run it directly into a wood chipper and just die.
Justice.
Yeah.
You think the horse was himself going to get horsed by a larger horse? That's the only justice.
Get horsed.
We needed that horse to get horsed. You just got horsed.
Yeah.
I'm recording the voiceover tracks for the pilot for our prank show, Get Horsed.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I did some outreach. I'm working on, fingers crossed, getting James Brolin to narrate Get Horsed, our prank show, as well.
Nice.
Get Horsed.
It doesn't make as much sense to have these heartfelt aphorisms for a show about pranking people with a bunch of horse hooves to their bodies. But
a horse is a powerful beast. No, but that can kick you in the chest, but sometimes the chest is a funny place to get kicked.
Well, Topher Grace, you just got horsed. That's for Celebrity Get Horsed, which is sort of the next iteration.
Yeah, we got most of the cast of That 70s Show, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
So the zoo, it was hysterical that Bobby was like, oh, check on the tunnels. And then we found out Bobby's tunnels, like, he's not just digging like a little mole person. He's, like, putting down brick, setting up lights down there. Like, Bobby's a fucking... Bobby's a foreman. Like, you can't believe. Like, Bobby's got to have a crew back there.
Bobby did not build that tunnel.
It seemed like he did, because they're like, Bobby, check on the tunnels you built that we mentioned earlier, and then we're in the tunnels, and holy shit, is it immaculate down there. Bobby's an unbelievable bricklayer. He put in some water filtration. He's got some light. He's got electronic. It's just really impressive.
I love the idea that Bobby goes underground and is like smoking a cigarette, being like, "All right, hey, to the other otters, that, like, hey, who's bringing? Who's laying the pipe? Oh, you fucking kidding me? You didn't finish the pipe? You didn't finish the pipe, Bob?
You got 250 feet short here. Come on." Yeah.
I love the tension in this storyline with the last men coming to the fence, the way that was filmed through the
camera. That was driving me nuts how calm they were. Like, oh, we should calmly pack up our stuff and walk away slowly.
No, they were getting out of there. They were getting out of Dodge.
No, they should have ran. It should have been like, holy shit, run, get your shit. They were like, let's...
What I'm talking about very specifically is the shot through the monitor where we see one last man and then a second last man and then a third last man. The way that tension slowly builds there, I thought was so smartly and carefully done. And they get out of there. Amy evacuates the kids, puts Pigtail, aka Wendy, turns out her name is, in charge, which I thought was great. I love their relationship still. And Amy sitting with the gun. You got to have to love that, Pete.
Wait, first off,
you don't like this storyline. I think that's what's going on here.
I have
you don't
a problem
like
with
it.
Bobby.
You don't like Bobby.
I don't like the way she's pretending with Pigtail. Anyway, so like
pretending?
Yeah, she's not. All right, anyway, well, there's a lot to uncover there. But my point is this:
clearly,
they were way too casual. And then why is she staying in a zoo that's going to get broken into? So she can take out two of them, maybe three, before she dies. Like, why aren't you with the hybrids? Like, why aren't you helping? You don't just send him down a tunnel and be like, take care of it from here, Bobby. Like, he's not going to be able to do anything.
I think we're going to, first off, don't underestimate Bobby. He can run a $7 million tunnel construction project.
You're
I think
right, you're
he,
right. My bad.
He's actually the foreman on the tunnel, the new tunnel connecting Manhattan to New Jersey. So watch your back.
Smart.
He's taking kickbacks from two states in this great union of ours. No, what I was going to say is that I think she has a strategy here. I think she loves the zoo and the preserve that she set up. And she thinks if she can deal with the last men and without the hybrids there at risk, and also that's what they're after, I think she can try to preserve the preserve is what she wants to do.
Oh, she's preserving the preserve?
Yeah.
To make
she
more
also,
preserves.
She's doing the same thing that Jimmy did in the Gus storyline, is she's staying behind to potentially sacrifice herself to protect the things that she loves. And the same thing the horse did, which the horse gets out and escapes in the Sing storyline and eventually is going to come back and kick Abbott in the chest.
Nice. I can't wait for that. If that happens, oh my God, I would lose my mind.
Maybe the real sweet tooth is the horse.
Maybe the real sweet tooth is the horse. Get horse.
It's called peanut butter tooth. Well, let me say, while we're back on the horse, it is interesting to me, if the horse is a symbol for the Sing storyline, the horse killed Nancy and gets to run free. Like, the horse went on the morally dark path, killed a human, and gets to run free. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. That horse is a villain on the loose at this point.
Did you guys?
Who knows how it's going to come back?
Has anyone really done autopsies on people that died from the sick? Because I think the pinky is just someone being like, oh, is that a horse I feel near
it's
me?
It's a horse sensor.
Horse. Exactly. It's the last protection. M. Night Shyamalan produces Sweet Tooth. It's a horse sensor. And the sick, it's a hoof to your forehead. Watch your back, or else you're getting horsed.
Did you guys like the League of Your Own nod in this?
Oh God, what?
There's no crying in the apocalypse. You know, like there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in the apocalypse. And Jeopard, straight faced, looked at a deer kid and said, "Buck up." I mean, come on, what was that? That was really a line? That's really what you're going to say to a deer kid? You're going to say, "Buck up"? That was insane.
Why don't we move on to the candy review portion of this episode? And as mentioned before, we're going to be talking about Twizzlers. Very exciting. Wow, you got the big bag, Justin.
Big bag.
Well, I had to go to multiple stores, and I almost only had Twizzler bites, but I ended up finding a big bag that was dusty. I had to blow it off like an old like an old tome.
Oh, I love the smell of Twizzlers in the morning. The thing that I'll say about Twizzlers. They are, first of all, my go-to movie candy. Just because they last for a while. Like, you get a package. I don't. Red Vines you can use as a straw. Twizzlers a little too thin.
No, you bite off each end. What are you talking about?
They are my go-to movie candy. I love them because they last a while. They don't tear up your mouth like a Sour Patch Kid.
Yep.
I honestly sometimes have had them, like, when I go to a movie theater late, I've had them. They've straight up been my dinner. And I love them. They're my favorite movie candy. The rest, every other kind of Twizzler other than the basic Twizzler sucks. Like, straight up is awful. Yeah.
Well, it's because Twizzlers, it says on the package, strawberry. What is this?
No.
Twizzlers are Twizzler flavor. There's no, if someone was like, what is this flavor? And I'd be like, there's no strawberry in this.
No, it's like wax and some
the best kind of
perfume or something. But it's very good. I like it. Like you were saying a couple episodes back, Justin, it's definitely like work, but I think that's the thing that I like about it. It's not just popping in your mouth and it's going down.
You want to work for your candy.
Yeah. I also, I don't even know if you guys, do you guys agree with this? That, like, we got the, you know, the basic package that comes with, what is it, 10 of them, and you got the big sack. Those are both good. Even the Halloween ones, the mini Twizzlers.
Yeah, mini Twizzlers are great.
Oh, I was going to say they're not even as good. Like, there's a difference.
Huh. A little harder.
Exactly. But Twizzlers, good candy.
I love fucking Twizzlers. They are a great, good
candy. I'm going to take that out of context.
Yeah, I'm going to take that literally.
You guys are assholes. They're a great go-to.
Hole's pretty tidy, Pete.
Also, like, if they can get hot, so they don't melt like chocolate. They last. You get 20 of these fucking things in a package. It's fantastic. It's a whole meal, or it's light if you want it. You can rip them up. There's no wrong way to eat them. It's just a classic candy that is a good time. And they always taste the same.
It's strange to me that there is a freshness quotient to Twizzlers, unlike most candy. I feel like once you open the package, the other ones do sort of get stale. And that is, this makes me think, like, what is this? What is this?
You gotta eat it fast.
It's like waxy, ropey substance that.
You do, you're absolutely right. You have about a day to eat the Twizzlers tops before they go bad. Pete, are you eating two at a time right now?
Yeah.
That's weird.
What's the rush? They're not going bad right now.
Like I was saying, part of the joy is that they take a while. So I like to like last. What I also like to do, which is probably very gross, but when I get towards the edge of the package, when I have the last two or three, I like to like suck on them a little bit and let them dissolve.
Oh my God. What the fuck?
Gross. Sucking on a Twizzler? Dude.
Sucking on a Twizzler?
That's weird. That's
a new
weird
audio cue. Sucking on a Twizzler.
I also like Twizzlers. Twizzlers was one of the few candies we had in our house because my mom likes them.
Pete, now you're eating three at a time? What is your rush?
You're so
we
good.
Don't have to finish the package by the end of the podcast.
I'm
so,
tasting a candy high.
This is a good candy, and I do. The smell of Twizzlers is synonymous with going to the movies, I feel like. Because I do think, just whether you get them or not, the movie theater often smells a little like Twizzlers. I don't know why. Is that something that Twizzler pays to pipe in?
Yeah, maybe. They have it piping popcorn and Twizzlers, but you're absolutely right. They're also, those are complimentary. Like, there's not a lot of candy that I feel like you get the candy, you get the popcorn, but there's something about the slight sweetness of a Twizzler and the saltiness of a popcorn. It goes pretty well together.
I think Junior Mints and popcorn go together. Mm. We always used to get Junior Mints.
I agree with both.
Practice.
I love Junior Mints.
All three.
That, to me, that is a thing of its own, because having mint with anything else, not a huge fan of that.
You know, the candy that I was obsessed with when I was growing up, Peppermint Patties.
Ooh, really? Mm. I thought you were going to say Rolos.
No, too hard on the teeth.
Oh, I love Rolos.
Peppermint Patty, extreme.
I'm kind of surprised. I think this is a rare triple agreement on a candy from us. We all like Twizzlers. That puts it near the top, I would say, in contention for the Syrup Cup, the award that we're going to give for the best candy at the end of the
prestigious award.
Two more candies.
Very exciting. We're going to have to see what happens. And for all of you out there, you can support our podcast at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come on by. We would love to talk to you about Sweet Tooth or candy or whatever. Whatever you want to talk about. It's all good. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more.
Justin, you better eat all those, man.
Garbage. This is trash.
Pete, you are now eating the package. Stop eating the package, Pete. That's disgusting.
Just licking the inside. See if I can get any more.
While you're at it, quit sucking on that Twizzler. Your mouth's happy enough.